Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here are your hosts, Joe Kuzma and Brian E. Roach.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. My name is Joe Kuzma, and I have returned to the promised land, to a land where the Steelers have stacked wins. I'm not in that much shock, although I do have a few things to say about the Miami Dolphins game. But before we get to that and looking ahead at the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday, I want to welcome back my brother from another mother. I would say maybe even second in command, holding down the fort while I was gone and the professor was sleeping, a one Mr. Brian E. Roach. What's going on, Brian?
It is a beautiful and lovely day of 40-something degrees, and that makes me happy.
I don't know that that's a lovely day. That's kind of like, eh.
No, it's awesome.
40 isn't great. Are you kidding me? I'll tell you what was awesome weather. You know, the weekend in Pittsburgh was beautiful. Monday night was tremendous. In fact, the sun was beating to such a point that even being in the 60s, could have walked around in shorts. And I don't know. I think some of the boys on the team were having a little leisurely stroll. This is what I was afraid of. And the reason I want to preface this right out the gate, Brian, isn't because, you know, I'm like Terry and I have to talk about the previous game no matter the day of the week. But I didn't get to say anything about this game, but I wanted to talk about the 14-point deficit to start. And with the Dolphins game, this is what I was worried about going into the Dolphins game. It's maybe people see, you know, we get told sometimes we're too positive, right? We would even find a positive if they burned down the stadium, which, you know, I threatened to do if they would have lost on Monday night. So, and my buddy that was with me, he already had the bail money set. So we were good there, and we didn't have to use it. So, because the Steelers won anyways. I saw, like, rust. I was thinking slow start. You were saying the same stuff about Mason Rudolph, et cetera, except for the fact was, even at 14-0, I'm like, first quarter, I'm like, this game isn't out of reach. This team sucks. I think, you know, I'd feel better if it was like a Big Ben situation. You got Big Ben in there. You always think you're in the game and going to come back as a Steelers fan when Ben Roethlisberger is throwing the rock around the field, right? Mason Rudolph, we weren't sure about that yet. And, well, you know, there's been a lot of drives. The Steelers defense have forced a multitude of turnovers this season. And they haven't capitalized on it yet. It looked like the offense was finally starting to get its bearings despite playing against, like, I don't know, the 300th ranked run and pass defense in the Dolphins. Going to be more of a sizable challenge this upcoming week, even though I still feel bullish and confident and positive about the boys. I have that skepticism of if they were to come out and do the same thing, shoot themselves in the foot. You have some penalties on some of those drives. I mean, the Deontay Johnson touchdown, for example, with the blown coverage was just a quick slant trying to pick up maybe some yards for Chris Boswell in the center of the put him in the center of the field for a field goal try, because that was like, what, 3rd and 20-ish or 3rd and 20 on the dot because of a penalty. And I believe the offensive pass interference penalty or something was in there somewhere, too, that knocked them back. And it was one of those things where, you know, you go from, I don't know where they were initially spotted, the 1 yard line, and then they were back to like the 46 or 47. You can't have those things happen here against the Colts. I have a tremendous amount of respect for what Frank Reich has done. He wasn't even their first choice as a coach, but the little goof up in New England, he bowed out of that job. He was too good for it. And they've put together, you know, some of these other teams try and do this stuff. They try and get a new coach or a hot coordinator and make them a coach and add some talent and some pieces and draft and all of this and that. And these guys have done that. They have shored up an offensive line. They already had some players of note, such as T.Y. Hilton, who will be out of this game. And they've drafted some other defensive. You got some studs like Darius Leonard. They added Eric Ebron a year or so ago. They just added Justin Houston, and he's been back on a tear, looking like his, you know, former self after leaving the Chiefs and dealing with nagging injuries the last few seasons where he hasn't been top form. This is a game where if this was being played in Indianapolis, I don't know how I'd necessarily feel about that. But there is an air here of being not only at Heinz Field, but knowing that the Steelers have absolutely owned the Colts for the better part of a decade, where I am feeling positive, bullish, and upbeat about the Steelers' chances this upcoming Sunday.
Well, with T.Y. Hilton out, I'm feeling much more encouraged than I may have been.
Would it have mattered?
Well, you know, it's always nice to have their primary weapon in the receiving core out. But no, I don't know that it really would have mattered. I mean, I said to Tina the other day, there's a variety of reasons to be encouraged about this game. First of all, the defense has played great. Secondly, when you look at what the Colts have managed to do, they're not blowing teams out. They're not putting up tons of points. They're beating bad teams, and as they should. I don't think the Steelers are a bad team at this point. I still think they got some work to do on the offensive side of the ball, but I think the defense is enforcing their will on people. And provided that we don't have a huge drop-off, there's a lot of reasons to be happy about this, and not to mention the fact that, as you said, Steelers have just owned the Colts for the last few years. I don't like to necessarily depend on that because this is not that Steelers team, and it's a difference between, you know, Mason Rudolph and Ben Roethlisberger, as well as, you know, the differences in the receiving core and the running back room. But yeah, there's a lot of reason to be positive, I think, about this game.
Well, thank you, sir, for agreeing with me here. I truly do appreciate it.
Well, you know, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't.
You know, you do make a good point. Primary target with T.Y. Hilton. I was just saying that because the Steelers' secondary has been, you know, kind of lights out. And there was something I hadn't really thought of that I'll give my cousin Brad a little bit of a shout out here on the show for, you know, saying this. I don't know what's going on. What's going on with Sean Davis? You know, you're kind of thinking maybe he could return at some point during the season. And I was just throwing it out there because we haven't had any feelers or know anything otherwise. But if he was able to return, you know, in the month of November, sometime through coming into the playoff stretch, in the variety of ways they would be able to use him along with Minkah Fitzpatrick and Terrell Edmonds, holy cow, that would be a boost to the Steelers' defense. But regardless, and when you're looking at the guys that are starting in the secondary, including your nickel corner and Mike Hilton, I do believe that the Steelers' secondary, it doesn't look like that the Colts have like this huge vaunted passing offense that would be a problem.
Yeah, when you look at the receiver core, when you take T.Y. Hilton out, you got guys like Deion Kane, you've got Zach Pascal, Chester Rogers, Ashton Doolin, and Paris Campbell. At least we're familiar with Paris Campbell, you know, coming from the Ohio State University. And then you've got the tight ends like Jack Doyle and Eric Ebron, as you mentioned. You know, look, the concern for them right now probably isn't the receiving core anymore because T.Y. Hilton was the scary guy there. Now it's, can we cover all the two tight ends? And, you know, you got Marlon Mack in the background, in the backfield. It's not an offense that overwhelms you. You aren't terrified of this receiving group. It kind of plays into the Steelers' strengths a little bit. It's not an overly potent offense. And remember, this is a defense that held, you know, the 49ers in check pretty much, probably should have won that game. They're really good at creating turnovers this year. Look, this is like the Ohio State connection here. They have Malik Hooker as well, a guy who we liked when he came out. You know, Pierre Desir. They've got a decent backfield on the defensive side. They've got, you know, the former, rookie defensive player of the year, Darius Leonard. So, you know, the defense is, it's not terrifying, but it's solid. I mean, you got Justin Houston, people like that. But I think the offensive line can handle this. The question will be how much of a change to the offense has to be made with James Conner probably being out, although he's only listed as questionable right now. But you can make the assumption he hasn't practiced yet this week, so he probably isn't going to play. So it's, you know, it's Jalen Samuels back off of his surgery and Edmonds as his backup, since Benny Snell football is sidelined after his surgery.
Yeah, you know, the Steelers just can't catch a break, can they? I mean, it's just one of those things. Well, they might catch a break, you know, you said T.Y. Hilton, but looking on the flip side, we don't know what's going on. Pierre Desir is somebody that could be beaten anyways, I feel. But, you know, he hasn't practiced for 2 days with a hamstring. There's some other guys that are, you know, off and on the report. Eric Ebron showed up with an ankle, so now you're going to have him as questionable, too. Malik Hooker, actually, with a knee, limited practice. Justin Houston with a calf, limited practice. All these guys, I don't know if they're getting cramps or what. But, I mean, the big one is definitely Hilton, but they might be without one of their other starting corners, too, which would, you know, definitely help. We saw what the Steelers did when Xavien Howard came out of the game. I mean, it was, you know, and they were doing it even with Howard, but Howard's, you know, pretty much he's one of the top corners. And we said that, too. I still said, even though they had lost Minka Fitzpatrick, I said last week that the Dolphins secondary was still, you know, pretty decent, even, you know, considering their record and everything like that. James Conner finally gets off the ground, as did Juju Smith-Schuster, first 100-yard receiving game, and a definite grown-ass man touchdown that he had as well. We're seeing Deontay Johnson start to put up some numbers that are comparable to Juju's rookie season. He may be a legit number two, starting to really kind of, you know, gel with everything. And believe it or not, Dante Moncrief, too. I don't think anybody really paid attention, but he's been out there for the last two games, about a quarter or so of the game. And, you know, right after Deontay got called for the phantom offensive pass interference, they went right down the field at Moncrief, like the very next play. And Moncrief was pretty much mugged. The guy never turned around to even look for the ball. And, of course, no flag. And good thing Tomlin didn't challenge that, because he needed that hanky later, the red one, because he probably wouldn't have been successful, because they just don't own up to the referees making mistakes on these pass interference calls anymore, no matter, you know, how obvious it is to everyone. I don't know. Maybe it's the sports book stuff that's out there now. And everybody's got their little, you know, their hand in the tail. And that's a good segue into, before we talk more about the Steelers offense and maybe the Colts defense and some other storylines in this game, we're going to let you know that the Steel City Underground podcast is presented by the FanDuel Sportsbook. And the FanDuel Sportsbook is offering a $500 risk-free bet to any and all new users. And the risk-free bet is, in itself, it's an amazing deal, Brian, but it's just the beginning. For our folks, our friends that are anywhere in New Jersey or Pennsylvania, whether you reside there or you're traveling there, as long as you're there, because, you know, you get the little geolocation thing with these apps in order to make it all, you know, above the book and legal, and or however you try to do that. You could download the app. You could bet anywhere in New Jersey or Pennsylvania. You could put, you know, your money where your mouth is, which the reason I brought that up was we were talking about the 14-point spread last week. And guess what the Steelers the final score was? It was 13 points. I'd convinced my friend to put the bet or lay the bet on the Steelers over the Dolphins, which he wasn't so happy about. But he also went with two over-unders with the NBA, and, you know, he has them paired together. And if you get, like, all three of them, it's a significant payout on his little bit of money that he was putting in. And it was kind of a fun deal watching it, except for the fact that it was, like, two really bad NBA teams put up, like, you know, 100 and some points apiece, and I think it was like an over-under of 220, and they like blew that out of the water, and you would have never thought that. It was kind of like, you know, you're looking at the Dolphins, and we said, hey, you were the one that was telling me, it was like, hey, you know what, these guys, they don't even put up like 10 points. If they put up like 20, I'd be disappointed. Well, it almost kind of happened, even just as a fluke, because of the way that the turnovers and stuff and the early game script kind of went in that direction. So, you know, they were down 14, and then you were spotting them an extra 14. And people probably weren't pretty happy about that, unless they actually put the bet on the Dolphins, and then they would have won. And, you know, I'm trying to look up here, and I don't know why I'm drawing a blank. Steelers, where are you? Here we go. Right now, Steelers are only they're a 1-point underdog. I mean, this is like basically almost like a coin flip. You don't usually see this. Usually you see about 3 to 3.5 for maybe a home team, and they're an underdog at home. Over under a 41 in this game. So that kind of coincides with what you were saying about the Colts offense not putting up a whole lot of points. So I guess you got to think, if the Steelers going to finally start scoring touchdowns instead of, you know, resorting to punts and or field goals, where they're at on the field. And, you know, that kind of is that's kind of, you know, the way I'm looking at it. I don't know, Brian, what do you think about the Steelers and Colts line here for this game?
Well, I think that that's a fair estimate in the sense that it's going to be close. I don't think either one of these teams is going to blow either one of the other ones out of the water, you know, provided that nobody makes ridiculous mistakes. I think the Steelers have grown from the team that got, you know, all those turnovers against San Francisco but couldn't turn them into points to a team that, if you make those kind of mistakes, is going to be able to at least make you pay for it some of the time. And so, you know, if the Colts make a ton of mistakes, then who knows? If the Steelers make a ton of mistakes, well, they can't afford to do that. They're just not, they are not in a position where they can afford that. So, you know, Mason can't come out and decide that he can't figure out which team to throw the ball to. That can't happen. And, you know, they got to secure the ball. They got to avoid those kind of mistakes. I would really like to see them avoid the pre-snap penalties and the bad holding calls that you know, kill drives on first down after they get a nice run. You know, they need to tighten some things up on offense, but I think that they have been improving. The Colts defense is a solid defense. It's a good defense. I don't know that it's a great defense, but it's a good defense. And so they will have their own challenges trying to score. But I think Juju can find a way to get open. I think if they do the things they did last week, which move him around, if they decide, you know, for example, to put whatever their best corner is on Juju the whole time and he's blanketing him, fine, move him in the slot. Do the same thing you used to do. Use some of those quick slants with Deontay Spencer or Johnson. I keep wanting to call him Spencer.
Yeah, I heard you guys, you know, and Tina went to correct you, and, you know, for it sounded like a little garbled. Like her, I know she was having a little bit of broadband troubles out there in, you know, the sticks where she's from, and she won't even take that to offense, Brian. She knows she's out in the remote,
remote region. She does.
She could hide the Unabomber on her property. But anyway, yeah, that was the thing she was talking about. Deontay Spencer. You know, it's kind of fun too with the FanDuel Sportsbook. You know, Juju's on here. We don't know about, you know, James Conner right now or Mason Rudolph, but you could place bets on them for being the most points, or, you know, there's a few others. There's over-unders on the fantasy end of this, and I don't know, you know, when they update or how they accept some of these, so you'll have to look at some of the disclaimers as, you know, if some of these players don't play, it's probably a wash. You know, you're not going to be able to choose T.Y. Hilton for an over-under of 11.5 fantasy points in this game because he's not going to play, you know what I mean? So just keep that in mind, and if you do decide that you want to place up to a $500 risk-free bet, you could use our promo code SCU, that stands for Steel City Underground, but just those three letters will add some extra money to your account. And, you know, again, just make sure you're in New Jersey or Pennsylvania. You could use that promo code, head on over to the FanDuel Sportsbook, either the app or, you know, FanDuel.com/sportsbook. We went over all the different variations of this website, but you could search for this and you could find it. But just keep in mind, folks, that it's the first online wager only. Refund issued as a site credit. Site credit expires after 14 days. So it gives you about 2 weeks if, you know, you're insuring yourself there to use it for maybe another bet. And then, you know, obviously go to sportsbook.fanduel.com for full terms. You must be 21 or older and present in New Jersey or Pennsylvania in order to play. Gambling problem, don't forget to call 1-800-GAMBLER. So, you know, just looking at some of that, I mean, these bookies never get it wrong, do they? I mean, they're looking
very
at
rarely
lower score game in the minus one range. So does that mean we're going to see Chris Boswell attempt another 54-yard kick?
I hope not.
Well, you know what? Into the open end, it wasn't, you know, actually from the seats, it almost looked like it was good, man. I mean, for real, it was, you know, he almost had that. It isn't quite like the kick I saw. I think it was the Broncos game. Who was that? Was that Prater? Somebody kicked one that was like 60 yards or something insane. I don't know if that was Sunday or what, but anyways, I digress. The reason I brought that up with Boswell is Mike Tomlin decided to not punt there and felt confident enough in his kicker, who had struggled all last year, and everybody's like, cut that bum. And now he's out there attempting a 54-yarder into the open end when there's only two guys who ever made a 56-yarder. And I wonder, you know, really how many have made, or how many 50-plus attempts have ever been converted in Heinz Field to begin with. So if you're looking at a plus or a minus one here, I'm thinking to myself, hey, Chris Boswell's got to be involved in this game at some point, you know, and we'll see how much. But really, I hope it doesn't rely on him too much. I want to see Mason Rudolph and these guys generate some points off these drives, especially if the Steelers defense gets some turnovers. We'll talk about that in a second because Jacoby Brissett hasn't really thrown any picks or anything like that. They protect the ball in Indianapolis. You know what I mean? But you know what? He's still a guy that's a little mobile, and when you start to get moving and you're getting harassed, some things can happen. But on the other end, you know, the Steelers don't have James Conner, who finally, or we're assuming he's not going to play. What was it? AC joint or something? Could have been much worse.
Yes.
But on the flip side, it looks like, as we were talking maybe last Monday, Jalen Samuels was healthy, but they held him out just as a precaution. Now he'll be at full strength, and now you're just, you know, you're going with 1A and 1B again, thunder and lightning, you know, a different dynamic with Samuels, but certainly capable. I want to see the offense score points and not kick field goals is what it really amounts to. And I think you're not going to see a huge drop off with Samuels. I think the drop off more or less will be where you were saying, maybe no Benny Snell football. And he was starting to get some more snaps. Now, just how many snaps are you going to afford to? I'm going to assume Trey Edmonds maybe filling a certain role or something like that if some of the other backs can't go.
Yeah, I think that's just the case that they find themselves in. They're going to be a little limited in depth at running back, and I think that's okay. Like, you know, Edmonds is a very powerful, strong runner, right? You know, he's not that fast, quick burst kind of guy, but he's a power runner, and that may play into what the Steelers can do against these guys. I mean, they were pounding the rock pretty good in that last game against the Dolphins, and you know, if they find that airing it out needs, you know, isn't working as well as they want, or Mason's having an off day, they may need to rely on the ground game. I hate to say this, but with Jalen Samuels back, who knows whether we'll see a wildcat or not? I really don't want to, but you never know. I mean, they've been, look, you, as much as you may or may not like the way things have gone this season, you have to give the coaching staff credit. They are doing the best that they can to make use of the talent that they have available to them, and get through a situation where it is not, especially on the offensive side of the ball, everything is not, you know, rosy and great. The defense has been holding up their end of the bargain pretty consistently. If you throw out the Patriots game, in every game, they have held up their end of the bargain, and the only time it's really cost them is when the offense has kept putting them back on the field far too many times. By, you know, three and outs and things like that. That's what they cannot afford to do against the Colts. The offense cannot afford to fail to sustain drives, and they can not afford not to protect the ball.
Yeah, and one thing is we do have some updates on the injury stuff right now, as, you know, we were, you know, better late than never with the show, but we wanted to see some stuff. So Ramon Foster still in concussion protocol, definitely out. Benny Snell is out for sure too. So, yep. You know, and obviously Connor, we were saying, you know, pretty much doubtful as did not practice. He is listed officially as doubtful. Roosevelt Nix is back as limited on the injury report and questionable for the game. Like, doggone it. You know, you finally get that added chess piece back in. They were able to pound the rock. I know he had a hand in that. As far as Ramon Foster being out, like, that isn't something I'm too particularly worried about with B.J. Finney stepping in. That's another 1A, 1B situation. Thankfully for the Steelers, they have some depth there. So that shouldn't really – the only thing that could affect is you know, Finney just hasn't – you know, how many snaps did he have? I could look it up from the last game. But this is one of those things where – the only thing I'm worried about is like a false start penalty, I guess, is, you know, you just haven't had these five guys in sync. So you just don't want to be penalized as part of that. And that's the only thing that really concerns me with having B.J. Finney step in. Otherwise, having Samuels come in for like Connor or any, you know, those are basically the two big injuries there. I think the Steelers offense will be a lot of what you've seen already. Mason Rudolph throwing down the field, almost entirely throwing downfield and no short passes against the Dolphins. Yep. The next gen stats or whatever that pulled that up, and I'm just like, you know, kind of mind blown. I had like that feeling of it sitting in the stadium, Brian, but it was like, one of those things where it's like, oh, I don't know. I'm not really going to tweet or say anything about that because I'm not exactly sure. And then when you end up getting it, it's like, holy cow. You know what I mean? For all the people that were criticizing him, that's done and over. he's you know, at least he looked comfortable and he settled in. You said that in the last show. He looked rusty, definitely looked rusty. BJ Finney played about half the game, just for, you know, notes there. Like right on the dot, it was like a 49% versus the 51% of Foster. So exactly half of, or almost half of the offensive 77 snaps, you had Finney play 38 of them to Foster's 39. It doesn't get any more, you know, even Steven than that. So, yep. You know, we didn't see much a drop off there. Maybe there won't be. Maybe I should just stick my foot in my mouth and stop right there. Now, we have to go on the other side of this in the Steelers defense. Aside from the Stephon Tuitt injury, and we saw how that kind of factored into everything, nothing really major. There's nothing there as far as any major injuries or anything that's been of concern or popped up on the injury report. So they should look at as full strength as they did against the Dolphins. They're on one day less of rest. The only thing that kind of bugs me, you know, as per usual, is you have a mobile quarterback, you have two tight ends. You know, the Steelers, they've got that label, that scarlet letter about covering tight ends. And you've got a guy that's very vertical in Eric Ebron. And then you've got a guy who is kind of more of a blocker, but also a capable pass catcher in Jack Doyle. They could kind of wreck some havoc, but I wonder if they get a little bit of help if they're not worried about, you know, somebody like Zach Pascal, who, you know, he's had a couple big games. You know, he had two touchdown, six catch, 106-yard game against the Houston Texans, but then followed that up last week with only one catch for 6 yards. He was only targeted like twice. Didn't really see a whole lot of action the first couple weeks of the season, so he's kind of come on as of late. And he's a guy that's, you know, he's fast, he's capable, he's 6'2", 214. You know, he comes from a small, maybe not like your normal, you know, college with Old Dominion, but, you know, it's not one of the... You know, it's not like a guy coming from Ohio State, like we were talking about our guy, which now, why did I forget who our other guy is?
Paris Campbell.
That's right. I'm like Pascal, Camel, Paris, Pascal. It's too much to do, man. So I think really, when you look at a somewhat mobile quarterback, I mean, this isn't Lamar Jackson running around for all intents and purposes. You've got basically Jacoby Brissett. He's ran it for 106 yards all season. He's capable of, you know, running like a bootleg or picking up a first down, kind of in the same territory as Russell Wilson. He'll try and sit in the pocket. But I worry more about, you know, Marlon Mack. Marlon Mack is a guy that's definitely more than capable of carrying the ball. He's not really a primary receiver type. That's what they kind of use Nyheim Hines for as the other back. So you got to watch like that combination. If the Steelers are able to clamp down on the run, which I feel with now having a healthy Vince Williams that they're more than capable of doing this, this could really limit the Colts offense from being able to do much of anything in this game.
Yeah, this is the battle that I want to watch in this game is what I'll call the battle of the grown ass men, because Quentin Nelson is a grown ass offensive lineman.
Yes,
and Cam Hayward, the original grown ass man, is going to have to deal with him the entire game, and so you're looking at a matchup of two stud muffin guys. You know, these are big brawly guys, and they should, that's a battle right there. If Nelson is able to, you know, handle, Cam Hayward on his own without help consistently throughout the game, that gives them a place to run the ball, which would be of concern. I'm not nearly as concerned, you know, with Tyson Alualu and McCullers and or Javon Hargrave on the other side of the ball, but this is a very good offensive line as a whole, and I think Quentin Nelson is probably the standout amongst them. So that's a battle that is worth watching and paying attention to. If Hayward can get the better of him, then I think it should equate to, you know, the Colts being very ineffective and the Steelers having plenty of opportunities in this game. But if they are able to run, especially over on that left-hand side, You know, that's potentially a problem.
Yeah. Now you got a couple of, you know, things, a lot of parallels with these two teams. You look at the points scored, Colts are 16th, Steelers are 19th. You look at points allowed, Colts are 14th, Steelers are 13th. Steelers are second in the league with plus 10 as far as your takeaway differential, where the Colts are in the middle of the league at zero. So they're not necessarily turning it over, nor are they, you know, getting it on the defense. So you can't shoot yourself in the foot. As far as passing offense, Indianapolis is 22nd. The Steelers are 26th. Running the ball, like I just said, with Marlon Mack, they're 11th. That offensive line, Steelers are 24th. Behind some horrendous running games that really skew that. Defensively, yeah. You look at the pass defense with both 15th and 13th, Colts Steelers, and then run is 20th and 15th. They're very close in a lot of different categories there. And even looking at the guys that are, you know, bringing the heat on the quarterbacks, Justin Houston has 5 sacks to, you know, TJ Watt leading the Steelers with 6. This is going to be a very interesting matchup, I believe, when we get down to it. And just one of the other things I wanted to throw out, I talked about Boswell and forgot to completely bring up Adam Vinatieri, who struggled earlier in the year. He's not in the friendly confines of a dome or on artificial turf or field turf or anything like that. He's going to have to play on this grass field. You're going to have to play in some maybe some cold. We'll see what the weather ends up turning out to be. I know you don't think 40's cold, but for guys who get to play in climate control, man, you know, especially comfy kickers that are, you know, 100 years old, it's something that could nag them. The game could very well come down to whether one of these guys makes or misses a field goal. So that's something else I wanted to throw out there.
No, absolutely. It is very legitimate. The other thing I want to talk about, and it'll seem strange, but one of the things that's been happening is teams are not throwing at Steven Nelson. They're throwing at Joe Hayden.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you've got to assume that trend is going to continue. And Joe Hayden's not used to being the guy that they throw at. So he has had some games where he has been good, but I haven't seen Joe Hayden be the Joe Hayden we think of as a complete shutdown kind of guy. And so you got to watch and see how that matchup, whoever he's matched up against, works out. I think he benefits greatly from T.Y. Hilton not being here.
Yeah, yeah. And it doesn't help the rest of the receiving core, like a Pascal, have like a standout game, even if T.Y. does nothing.
Right.
You know, I think that one big game I just mentioned from Pascal, I think T.Y. Hilton had like maybe 2 targets, maybe caught 1 ball for 6 yards or something, much in the same vein of what I was talking about with Pascal on the flip side. So it's usually one of those guys that really has a big game. You know, just as long as I think they lock up the tight ends. And this isn't necessarily like Andrew Luck, who loved his tight ends. These guys, they do okay. What are they targeted in the 30th range apiece? They share some targets there. But you're talking about T.Y. Hilton being largely the target monster here, 46. I mean, Jack Doyle is second and Ebron is third. So they have 30 and 29, but T.Y. Hilton's been targeted 16 times more than Doyle and 17 more than Ebron. So, I mean, they're sharing kind of that, but they're kind of playing at the same time, and they do have their roles in the run game. I think another interesting thing I needed to bring up is there's always like, you know, we're looking at these things, and the NFL puts like one of these tidbits or teasers or trivia questions almost with the NFL 100 deal. And the one that they do this for every game, and there's like this one's actually like a Steelers one for this game, which is, you know, I think they just throw darts because it isn't whether one team is at home or whatever. And then they decide to pull this one up, Brian. And tell me if this sounds weird. I think this will be a good way to close out the show, other than imagining Brad Allen's the referee, and I don't have any problems with him yet. Yet is the key word. You know, these are one of the newer guys. You know, I didn't have a problem with Ron Torbert either, other than it took like 6 minutes of real time, I think, in the on TV, aside from a commercial break that they probably broke through when I was rewatching the game, to look at that. They were looking at the Fitzpatrick run, and you could clearly tell that the guy was short. I mean, it was just odd. But anyways, on January 14th, 1996, Bam Morris had a 1-yard touchdown run in the fourth quarter to help the Steelers defeat the Colts 20-16 in the AFC Championship game and advance to the fifth Super Bowl in franchise history. And I'm like, that's the one that they pick out of everything. When I think of Steelers-Colts games, man, I think of the Jerome Bettis fumbling and Ben Roethlisberger making the tackle. Uh-huh. I don't necessarily think of Bam Morris having a 1-yard touchdown run, you know, the cap off the drive and send them there. I also think of the Jim Harbaugh pass in that game too, the Hail Mary that got knocked down at the end. And I also think of Big Ben laying, what, 5-6 touchdown passes?
Six touchdowns, yeah.
In back-to-back weeks, no less. I believe he was wearing the Bumblebees that week too. When they were wearing the prison stripe throwback jerseys. So regular jerseys at Heinz Field this week, they're bookended by Color Rush last Monday. And then this week they'll be, or next week against the Rams, are going to wear the block number throwbacks. So things will look a little normal. And we hope they appear to be as normal as ever with the Steelers victory. Plus one. I mean, I don't know what you do with plus one, but thanks once again for joining me today, Brian. And
always a pleasure, man.
Yeah, always looking forward to it. Always looking forward to our comments. Any closing comments of your own?
I'm just letting everyone know, I don't know this ref. I don't know what he's going to be like, but I'm primed and ready because they still stink.
I think Brad Allen, I'm looking him up right now. Brad Allen, NFL. That's a good suggestion there. No picture of Brad Allen anywhere. Yeah, there's got to be a picture of Brad Allen. I thought Brad Allen was the guy that kind of looked like Brad Garrett, but he's not. He looks kind of younger. I don't know how old he necessarily is, but you would know him. As soon as you see him, you'll be annoyed. That's all you got to know.
Absolutely.
It's not Tony Corrente, so we're okay. I think Tony Corrente is my least favorite guy. Every game I watch with him, I cringe. I think it's his delivery. Like when he says things like over the microphone, which I have to bring this up real quick too with the microphone. But anyways, Corrente's delivery just isn't there, and he stumbles and bumbles and makes himself look even more foolish than he already is with some of these. He has the craziest stuff happen to his in his games too, but I needed to bring up too that the cheering for Zach Banner was all about 100% all about the referees just finally saying something over the microphone that was positive and not against the Steelers and allowing them to continue the game without delay. So everybody was kind of cheering for that every time he came in as like a third tight end and reported eligible. They announce it so everybody knows that he's an eligible player. And it was funny because I even think he was a little downfield on one of those where you would normally see a lineman and there would be a flag for an eligible receiver downfield, but not in this case because he was the eligible receiver. So I'm not sure if the Zach Banner trend will continue. I just think the fans were that annoyed and perturbed with the bad officiating as usual. And hopefully, as you mentioned, not knowing Brad Allen, hopefully we don't get to know him any better.
Yeah. And I wanted to mention this at the top of the show, and I'm going to mention it now because it's a good way to just do a mic drop. Josh Gordon. No.
Yeah. Well, there was
no.
No. bad person. Bad fan. Bad Yinzer. My cousin brought that up. Go out and get him right now. Drop him on crease.
No.
I'm like, no. Stop. And Antonio Brown's not coming back. And do we really want to believe that Le'Veon Bell was going to be? They were going to trade. Is it because? Why would you bring him back? Wouldn't that make him miserable? He sat out and he wanted more money, and now you would trade for a contract they can't afford to begin with.
It's ridiculous. No, it's nonsense.
Yeah. Nonsense. Yeah. Is this contract? I mean, it's less than what they pitched. He got less money, but he's not coming back. Stop it. Everybody stop. Just stop. All three, stop. Didn't even want to mention big checks, and I did. Stop it. Wrong. Evil. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. My name's Joe. His name's Brian. Until next time, be safe, be good, stop it, and we'll see you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.